Get everything for your next project at Menards and save big money. We carry everything to help you breathe easier. Allergen air filters help prevent seasonal allergy symptoms and improve your indoor air quality by capturing microparticles while allowing maximum airflow. Save big on Allergen air filters when you shop at Menards. View the weekly flyer and all of our great deals happening this week on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
I think the job of being a teacher is so rewarding in so many ways.
The connection between you and the whole class, that's still unbeatable.
When my pupils are successful, it feels incredible.
I think the greatest thing for me is seeing the pupils that I teach love the subject as much as I do.
I don't think there's any other job where you get the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train, search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Ladies and gentlemen. Podcasting since 2005. You are listening to Gamer Tag Radio. With your hosts, Godfrey, Pete Rock, Paris, Pasta.
Come on. Yeah.
Welcome to Gamer Tag Radio 538. This is your host Danny, aka Godfrey, and this week we have Patrick. Patrick, what's up?
What's up, Danny? How you doing, man?
Good. I'm excited for this episode.
Me too.
All about fan mail.
We got some good questions this week.
Yes. But please don't stop. Continue sending us questions.
We always relish the new opportunities to respond to you guys.
Definitely. And also we have Paris. Paris, welcome back.
Hey, I'm back. For some reason, Pete's still not here. He's still pretending his internet doesn't work and he's playing the division.
Still can't get off the division. Damn.
See, that's what happens when you use net zero. Your connection is not going to be all that. So, Pete, upgrade, please. Yeah. Paris, you haven't done a fan mail episode in a while, right? It's been a very long time you haven't done a fan mail episode.
Yeah, I don't like talking to people. I'm socially awkward.
Oh, okay. There you go, guys. Don't talk to Paris. It's all good. Head over to GamerTagRadio.com. Post your comments, listen to our past episodes. Or you could also head over to Play.it and go over there and listen to our show there, man. Plus, there's a lot of other podcasts there you could listen to. Also, give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Or email us fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Once again, for those that don't know, Spotify just added podcast, longest beta ever. You could go now to your Android device or iPhone and listen to Gamer Tag Radio. Follow us, support us, spread the word, tell your friends. And you could also subscribe iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, everywhere. Any everywhere you'll find us. All right. So I think it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right. So I think we what happened?
I was gonna say it's missing something there. But
yeah,
oh well.
Yeah.
Well, it's playing the division, so you don't have it.
Oh, Pete. Shots fired to Pete.
Hey guys, my internet doesn't work. I'm not going to be an episode. Oh, I'm playing a division with Cicero secretly.
Offline, right? Oh my God. Hilarious, man. So should we go first with a voicemail? I think it's a pretty good question.
Yeah.
Right?
I think voicemail's a good way to kick it off.
All right, let's go with the voicemail right now.
Hey, what up, fellas? This is Eric over in California. Hey, this message is in response to the caller from the UK. I don't think that the X1 is in trouble. And I do agree with Parrish, as he was able to justify my statement by providing quantitative reasoning. I like Paulston, but I do think his comments regarding not wanting another Xbox One was a bit alarmist by stating that, you know, it's he's not impressed with the hardware. And I will say that it's only been a couple of years for this generation cycle. It's still relatively new, and I honestly believe that Microsoft is in it for the long haul. But the question I want to ask you guys is, do you think that that Quantum Break will be in direct competition with Uncharted 4? Because I know that Naughty Dog pushed back the release date for Uncharted 4. So do you think they did that to compete with Quantum Break? Love the show. Keep it up, guys. Look forward to hearing from you. Peace.
All right, thoughts?
Well, I mean, you know, like I was saying a couple weeks ago on the podcast when we were just talking about that. I mean, yeah, Xbox One's not in trouble. I mean, even when we were talking on the last episode about, you know, it looks like sales number wise, PlayStation 4 might have it 2-1. Again, put Xbox One in its own vacuum and take PlayStation out of the equation. It's selling at a record pace. They're fine. They're just in second place. That's all. It's really not that big of a deal. If you enjoy Xbox games, go get an Xbox One. It's a great machine, and there's some great games that are going to be coming out for it in 2016. And his other question that he was talking about, Quantum Break, going up against Uncharted, unfortunate, I think, in that, you know, Sony's going to have all the marketing hype for Nathan Drake's final ride, Uncharted 4. I'm not going to say that Quantum Break's going to get lost in the shuffle, because obviously Microsoft's going to have a big marketing campaign behind that as well. But let's be realistic. It's going up against a known franchise IP. This is something that's brand new. It's going to be secondary. It just is. But I think it'll do fine. I do. Yeah. Hopefully we'll get a chance to check it out here later this month at Spring Showcase.
Also, for my part, I'm still has worried a little bit about Microsoft in terms of the future of the Xbox, just because I guess I'm not seeing a commitment to new IPs past 2016, and they could prove me wrong.
What? Scalebound, Recore.
Those are the ones we know about. And if they're on PC, this becomes irrelevant to me. This is what I'm saying.
I can't. Xbox.
Hold on.
Pause it. It's called the disease. He'll call it the master race disease. Look,
even
from a PC guy, I can't let that one ride. No.
You're kidding me. No. I'm here hurt.
Dude, they're spending. I remember Phil Spencer during E3, was it last year or 2 years ago? That they have at least $1 billion ready to invest on just a new IPs.
Great.
Am I right?
See them.
But I trust they are still working on it.
Let me see them. I'm just saying, for my part, I just, at this point, I am not excited for the new Xbox down the road. I'm still curious,
Boston,
if I'm going to play
more
mine
new
that
IPs
much this year outside of games. You know, once I beat the story mode to Quantum Break and beat the story mode to Recore and beat the story mode to Scalebound, is it just going to go back to sitting there? Like,
Gears
I just don't
4.
See any. Mate, hopefully. I am excited for Gears 4, no doubt. It's just at this point.
Halo
I don't
Wars
know.
2.
I'm open minded. I'm open minded about that. I'll try.
Is it a PC Master Race Paris? Is it a PC stuff?
No. And like I've said a million times, and just, yeah, you know, we're talking last episode about The Witness. Even though it's on the PlayStation 4, I'm playing it on the PC because it's just a superior hardware, and why wouldn't I? So I get what Paulson is saying on an individual level that, hey, if I got a high end PC and you're going to give me the same exact game on the PC, I'm going to get the PC version. But we're the minority when it comes to that. The average person is playing on a console. So when we talk console exclusives, even though it shows up on PC, I don't count that, really. I really don't.
So we're different. That's the disconnect we need to have right now. Okay. I respect that. The other part of it, in terms of Quantum Break competing with Uncharted 4, I don't see it personally. But I guess I pretty much play any story-driven game like this anyway, so there really is no bleed over for me. And I mean, like Paris said, you mean you're comparing Nathan Drake, who's now an international video game hero, with, you know, Sean Ashmore, and the last thing he was in was X-Men that I can name. So, and you know, obviously Littlefinger's in there too. So that's great. That's cool. They have star power, but it just doesn't compete with the fact that we are an industry built around video game icons. You know, that's we get excited about games because, you know, Master Chief's coming back. You know, Commander Shepard's coming back, Nathan Drake, Lara Croft, you know, those are name brands we get excited about, as opposed to an original story with professional actors, which sounds like a great game. Look forward to playing it. But, I mean, you just can't compare the two. It's just gaming is focused around our heroes. And even though it kind of seems like we are moving more towards crafting games around you, the individual, and the character that you make in your story, like things like Destiny, things like that. I still think that a large amount of industry is driven by the fact that if you create an iconic character, people will follow that character. And that's just the way we've always worked. And until, you know, we start, I guess, start being proven otherwise in terms of game development, it seems like that's still going to be the majority of people's interest is going to be on existing IPs. Going up is always going to override new IPs. But of course, I haven't played Uncharted 4 or Quantum Break yet, so I couldn't know what I'm talking about possibly. But I still want to play both of them. I'm excited. But I just don't really see a direct competition between the two. Because unless you're a hardcore gamer that owns both systems, you're really not even, that's not a choice for you. It's either you're attached to your Xbox and you're excited for the possibility of playing a new IP this year or next year, or you're a Nathan Drake fan and you have a PlayStation and you're already dead set on I have to know how the story ends. And a lot of us are in that camp. So just depends.
I'm buying both games, but all I'm saying is, guys, I know everybody's hype about Uncharted 4. I am too, you know, but don't sleep on Remedy, man. They make some great games. Don't sleep on them. That's all I'm saying.
Dude, they made Max Payne. If you make Max Payne, you can do no wrong in my eyes.
Yeah, exactly. So
this email is from Michael, and he's saying, hi, guys, longtime listener from Bristol, England, first time writing in. Well, thank you. A friend lent me a PS3 to play The Last of Us, and after sitting behind my sofa for over a year, I finally hooked it up. This is an issue for me, so I set it to time is an issue for me, excuse me, so I set it to easy. So far, I've played through 10 hours and have absolutely loved being able to work through without difficulty slowing me down. I always play on normal or hard, but doing this way has made the story more immersive and enjoyable since I haven't replayed sections multiple times, listened to cutscenes over and over, or progressed so slowly that I forgot what's going on. Here's my question. Do you think all narrative-driven games should be played through on easy in order to enjoy the story as intended for the first playthrough at least? I'm going to make it my default setting so I can experience more games in 2016 without frustration or a huge time commitment. Love to hear your thoughts. Keep up the good work, Mike. Okay, so yeah. Thank you, Michael, for sending in this email. To my personal opinion, I get what you mean with The Last of Us, because if you guys go back in the archives when The Last of Us first came out, I didn't like the gameplay on it. I still kind of don't like the gameplay on it, but the story
me in the heart over here. Please go on.
Yeah, but the story is fantastic. I love the story of The Last of Us. I did do a second playthrough, but I just played on normal, and I appreciate it a lot more. But I totally get what he means, just wanting to enjoy the narrative and not have to worry about the gameplay mechanics slowing him down due to time constraints. But in my personal opinion, I would never play a game on easy, because that's not how the game was intended to be played. At a minimum, I would play it on normal. Like a game like Halo, for example, I play it, heroic is my default. I play it on that no matter what. If I play with a group of friends, we go to legendary. It's just certain games require certain difficulty level to truly enjoy it. Like, for example, the Witcher. I don't play Witcher 3. I play that on not the normal level. The one
I play normal.
The one right above it. Why am I not thinking of it right now?
Blood and Broken Bones.
There you go. That's how I play it, because I like the challenge that it provides. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I really think it's a game-by-game basis. I wouldn't just by default put everything to easy, because some things you're just going to blow through and you're not going to appreciate the challenge that the gameplay could provide by doing so.
Totally agree. Now, my question is, have you guys ever played a game on easy? Because just because you didn't have time, or you got frustrated, or was there any game at least?
Nothing that I can think of off the top of my head where I purposely put in on easy. I remember back in the day when Gears of War came out, messing around, I played certain parts of it on easy just to see the contrast, and I was like, this is absolutely ridiculous. So I put it back up to a harder difficulty. But it's just easy's not for me. I just feel like at that point they're putting training wheels on the game and they just want you to blow through it. I'd rather have like some type of challenge is what I'm trying to say.
I mean, to me, like, I always play games on normal. If I pass it, or if I feel like it's way too easy on normal, then yeah, I'll step it up and play it a little bit harder and stuff. So, yeah. Passing you?
For me, I typically don't play games on normal or easy. I typically go for the harder settings. But for me, it kind of depends on what the gameplay is. If it's a game based around, you know, gunplay, and, you know, it's pretty accurate in terms of, you know, you can only get shot a couple of times to the enemies and vice versa, I want that harder setting, because to me that puts me more into the mindset of Nathan Drake, of Lara Croft. I feel the pressure, you know, the fear of dying, and makes the game more, you know, stressful but more enjoyable for me. But on the opposite mm-hmm. side, you know, if I'm playing an RPG, typically, like, especially a Japanese RPG where it's purely number-based and skill is a more minor factor, I default to normal, because I don't enjoy the whole concept of having to grind a certain amount early on to be able to be ready for the later content because you're underleveled. So typically RPGs, normal setting is fine for me. Western RPGs sometimes can be on the hard setting depending on what the gameplay style is. But mm-hmm. predominantly the games I like to play are, you know, the concept of, you know, guns are dangerous. They're very lethal. You should be afraid of them. You should take cover when you're getting shot at. So I prefer that harder setting because it puts me more in that mindset. That's why I like the Tom Clancy style of games. I mean, you only have one life. Take it seriously. Tactics are everything. Mm-hmm. But it goes back and forth. And then, like Paris said, like, sometimes you just want to have fun playing Halo with your buddies, and Heroic and Legendary, it's pretty much, you can switch back and forth at ease. So it just depends on the game.
All right.
Don't make the mistake of putting your Valentine's Day shopping off until the last minute. Valentine's Day is quickly approaching, and it's also Sunday this weekend as well. Wouldn't it be great if you could just order something quick and easy for your special loved one and have them delivered on time for Valentine's Day with little or no effort? Take it from me. Pro Flowers are the flower pros, and they make Valentine's Day easy. I trust Pro Flowers every time to get it done, and so can you. Right now, Pro Flowers is offering our listeners one dozen assorted roses, plus a free glass vase for just $19.99. And if you order this week, they'll throw in free chocolates too. Or really do it right and double the roses for just $9.99 more. And all you got to do is go to proflowers.com and use our code GTR. It's quick, easy, and delivery for Valentine's Day is guaranteed. So are the flowers. If they don't last at least 7 days, you can get your money back. You can literally do this on the mobile device while you're listening to the show. You can't beat that. So head on over to proflowers.com and use the code GTR to get a dozen assorted roses and free glass vase for just $19.99 and free chocolates. They're really good.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
Next question. Possibly you want to pick one?
Yeah, sure. One sec. Okay, so this one is from Daniel. It says, what's up, Gamer Tag Radio crew? This is Daniel coming at you guys from Orlando. Real quick, I've been listening to you guys for about 3 years. This is my first time writing. Only reason I wrote in because I felt Danny was always talking to me when he says, send your email. You guys produce a phenomenal show. So I have a question. He says, if you could take control of any company, you know, the Apple, the Samsungs of the world, what would you take from them to make the ultimate console to go toe-to-toe with this generation?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Keep up the good work, guys. And he says his birthday is on the 29th, so happy birthday to you. Shout out, Daniel. Thanks for the question.
Happy birthday, man. Yeah. Plus, he lives in Florida, too. Woo.
Yeah, shout out to Florida people. That is a good question. I mean, Apple obviously has such a huge amount of resources. It almost seems infinite at their disposal. I guess I would definitely steal their R&D department, because it's kind of like one of the most tightly guarded secrets in the tech world. You know, you know, sometimes even Tim Cook isn't even allowed to see some of the stuff in there at any given time, because it's so, you know, anything that gets leaked could really hurt their company and their bottom line. So I'd love to get that, you know, dedication to seriousness of R&D and the fact that, you know, nothing gets leaked ever. So you have full bubble that you can go in and, you know, commit all your resources and your talent to, you know, taking an impossible problem and making it happen, which I feel like what Apple has been excelling at for several years now. It's why they're, you know, running the industry more or less. So that's probably what I would defer to is Apple's R&D department, which seems like they are pretty much one of the best in the world at this point of what they do. They could definitely, you know, overcome some of the limitations that seems like some of the consoles may have had this generation of, you know, having technology that's going to age at a natural pace, you know, so the games never feel like they're limited very much. We don't have to have shorter light console cycles, because you want a good 5 to 7 years out of your console, right, when you make that $400 to $500 investment. So I think Apple's R&D department could be a great resource for big companies to take advantage of, if possible.
Paris, I know you have the Apple TV. Are you playing games at all or that, or just strictly for media?
Just strictly for media. Just watching a lot of Netflix on it. That's about it, really.
Okay.
Right now.
Okay. All right. Just wondering, because, you know, I haven't heard anyone really talk about their gaming side. So I'm like,
And Amazon, it's like, who's talking about their games?
Well, it's just, I mean, like, not to, you know, demean mobile games, but like, because it's doing so well and there's such a growth every year and they make so much ridiculous money, they probably don't see an issue. They don't see a need to go in and purposely have a dedicated game development side. I mean, they could, but
they do why? Though. Amazon, like, okay, the thing is, when I'm mentioning those companies, because they have a device where you could play games and watch movies. You know, I'm not saying this like,
but how many people do? I'm just curious. Like, that's the thing that use those devices for that reason, besides just you know watching television and movies.
But that's the thing. There's people that find those controllers maybe a little bit easy, or that device a little bit easy compared to like consoles like PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. So there's we even have friends that work at Amazon. They're working on games too. You know, and they work these games not only for mobile, but also for their device, for like the Fire TV devices and stuff like that. So, you know, it's I'm just curious, like, any listeners out there, are you playing games through these devices or only mobile, or besides the console stuff? I'm just curious to see who else are actually playing those type of games, you know? So, like, I used to play a lot of games on my mobile phone, but I stopped playing those a long time ago. I just stopped. Man, you know, unless there's something
for me. I mean,
unless I find something really, really cool, then yeah, I'll download it and play it. But I haven't done that in a very long time, you know. So, pretty good question, man. Shout out to Daniel once again. Happy birthday, man! Once again, this is from Paul. Just a quick email to say that your podcasts are awesome and by far the best out there. Listening to you guys definitely helped me get through my working day. Well, thanks, man. I love those emails, man. I will continue to recommend you guys to as many people as possible over here in the UK. Keep up the great work and keep on being awesome.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Paul. You'd be awesome too, man. That was a great... We really appreciate things like that. That makes me excited to come sit down every night, you know, twice a week with you guys and record these episodes, because it's so cool to touch people across the world and make their day a little bit brighter. That's awesome.
Matter of fact, shout out to Rachel, this person that she just emailed me couple days ago. She interviewed me because she wanted to learn more about she's studying journalism here in in a school in Orlando and stuff, and she just wanted to learn more about us and our history, and this is a part of her excitement so for school. So shout out to her, to Rachel. Good luck on your work and stuff. So thanks for the interview and everything. It was a lot of fun. I love getting emails like that when people are, they just love our content. And look, I even love good or bad feedback too. Like, let us know things that we're doing wrong for us to even make the show even better. You know what I'm saying? Without the feedback, the show is not going to grow. You know what I'm saying? Like, I made mistakes in the past and it helped us make the show a lot better. You know what I'm saying? So any other emails?
This one's from Kevin. Shout out to Kevin from Ohio. He says, what's up, GTR crew? First question, what new kinds of maps and operators do you guys want to see for future Rainbow Six Siege content? Great question. Love that game. And second, he says, I agree that video gaming will go fully digital in the future, but it scares me at the same time. The only major concern for me with digital games is when a digital game is taken off of the Xbox Live Marketplace or PlayStation Store. There have been cases in which certain games have been disabled on people's consoles due to being removed from the online service. If I understand this right, it also means that players cannot play those particular games offline either. My concern for an all-digital future purchasing games is that I do not want to have that content I pay for taken away from me. I was going to go all-digital for Xbox One, but this concern has forced me to still purchase physical disc. This way, at least, I know that I can still play the game, even if it gets taken off Xbox Live. What are your thoughts?
All right, can I answer the second question very quick?
Go for it. I'll take the first one afterwards.
All right, so the second part, here's the thing. When you're buying these games through Xbox Live or PSN or whatever, let's make believe Xbox going out of business, they're turning off Xbox Live, right? Microsoft as a business is still going to be there, but maybe Xbox is just going to be like shut down. They don't want to get sued. So what they're going to do, they're probably going to have an update where even if the service is offline, you still will have a way for you to play these games and keep these games forever for your device. They could do that. Steam is the same thing with Steam. You know, all these companies, you're buying these games, they're not going to shut it down and you're not going to ever play it again. Like, that's not going to happen. You know what I'm saying? So I think from that part, it's easy to just have an update for all the games that came out throughout the years. That will be easier for you to play it if you're online or offline. They just can't do it now because, I mean, there's, I think, a certain time you could play certain Steam games offline. Am I correct, Paris?
Yeah, like Steam, is it
40 hours?
It's a couple hours? I forget the exact, but yeah, there's an extended offline period for Steam. I mean, it's pretty generous.
Same thing with the other consoles too. The only reason why they're doing that is because they don't want people to start bootlegging these games, you know? So I can understand that part, but I wouldn't be scared. Like, I have a 4 terabyte hard drive strictly for my Xbox One. So I'm fine. I'm good. So, Posse, you want to answer the first question? Have anybody want to say anything else about this? Am I right or am I wrong?
You're pretty much on the money on that one.
Okay.
I understand his concern. I'm definitely still own a couple of physical games, and I'll probably still buy one every once in a while, but I'm definitely more on the digital side of things for the long run. But anyways, in terms of Rainbow Six Siege, very fun game. Still love playing it. What new kinds of maps and operators I want to see? I want maps with a bigger focus on asymmetrical gameplay in terms of, you know, the game is already set up with the attacking and defending teams taking turns, but the maps for the most part are very straightforward. You know, it's a four-walled building. It has 3 floors. It has a basement sometimes. You can go in from above or the windows. Pretty straightforward. But then you have maps like the plane, which are very different from the other maps. And I wish they would go more that route of having more unusual setups, like a shopping mall would be interesting. You know, if you want to, a lot of these maps were based on real terrorism incidents throughout history. You know, they could definitely start adding some of these more modern things, and not to be like sensitive to what's going on in the world right now. It's very terrible what's going on right now, but we're a gaming podcast. And I think that if you want to use some of that in terms of the places, like the embassy style places, the shopping mall style places, they could offer interesting gameplay aspects to this game. That's very straightforward of, you know, it is a counter-terrorist versus counter-terrorist thing. You're not playing as a terrorist, and I encourage that in any way. But they still think that they could design more interesting maps, you know, with more modern incidents that have been going on recently in the world. You know, if you kind of open people's eyes a little bit, but this is a gaming podcast again. In terms of operators, I'd love to see something along the lines of more of a close quarters quick response team, because I feel like a lot of the operators are based around the concept that, you know, they are longer range because the guns do so much damage in this game. I'd like to see something that's a little bit more of a counter to that, where it's a closer range character, maybe just with a focus on, you know, disabling like sight or, you know, electronic devices, you know, not so much EMP stuff, but more of like more of the modern hacking kind of the world, the black hat concept. So maybe a close range like hacker would be cool. Maybe with a focus on melee combat initially, and then you could go more into the range of, you know, more of like a recon scout kind of person as well. And then support roles, you know, there is a one medic, but I feel like they could expand that into more of a larger support role. And so it's not just focused on most matches, almost always end in team deathmatch where just everyone is killing each other. So operators would force more the objective of, you know, the hostage, the bomb, the securing the area. I'd like to see things like that, because I feel like the game has so much potential. I just feel like it's almost kind of limited because, you know, the first DLC should have come out already. It's been delayed into sometime in February. We still don't know yet. It's actually shocking to me we haven't got any updates on this. But we're supposed to have a lot of content all throughout this year. It hasn't come yet. I don't know what the development issue is. But I'd love for them to keep expanding on what they have, because like, they have a very winning formula there. It's just its main concern people have is $60. There's only, you know, 10 maps right now, no single player content. It all depends on how much fun you think the game is. And at a certain point, as fun as Destiny is, we go back to the lack of content becomes the issue, and the lack of detailing what we're going to get this year. Because even though we know we're getting DLC this year, we still don't really know what. We know it's operators, we know it's maps, but we don't know anything else besides that. I'd like to be more informed of what's going on, and I'd love for them to take feedback from the fans, because, I mean, they're very passionate Rainbow Six fans out there that have a lot of great ideas of things they could even bring back from the older games, from the original Rainbow Six, the Rogue Spear, the Rainbow 6-3 Black Arrow, the Raven Shield. A lot of great ideas they could carry over into the modern Siege setting. So the potential is huge. I'm still going to keep playing it throughout the year, looking forward to the new content, but I'm curious to know what the long-term plan for this game is.
All right, so we're going to end it with that question. But we have one interview for this week.
All right, so next up, I have an interview with the development team of Severed, which is an upcoming game for the PlayStation Vita. which for me is maybe held a Vita in my hands. I can count on one hand how many times that's done. This is amazing for Severed. It's a first person game with all hand drawn art style with a combat system based around the touchscreen in terms of you are a woman who's trying to seek out her family. But throughout the way you're exploring this mystical, almost like Alice in Wonderland type world where the plot is, you know, restrained and you're having to figure out bits and pieces as you go on, talking to the different enemies, to the different, you know, monsters and creatures out there. And it's a very surreal, abstract experience, almost something along the lines of maybe like Pink Floyd's The Wall in terms of some of the visual aspects. But it's very bright, very colorful, runs great. It's a fun game to play on the gameplay side because it's almost like a rhythmic melee combat game of you have to attack in a certain time in a certain manner and respond to what the enemy is doing real time. But it's really cool. So listen to the guys the interview. I think it'll get you excited. Certainly if you still are a PS Vita owner, this is a must own at this point from the little bit I played at the PlayStation Experience. Incredibly fun game, very beautiful, moving story from what I can tell from the little bit I played, and beautiful music too. So a complete package for a great handheld Vita game, and it's called Severed, and you can listen to the interview right now.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Gamer Tag Radio. Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
But I got a really lucky chance to check out this great new game called Severed. I got to play it on the Vita. And I'm joined by my friend here. Introduce yourself, please, and what you do at the studio.
Chris Harvey. I'm one of the founders, and I do mostly tech.
So, Severed, first off, I got to say, I haven't played a game of this design, I don't think, ever. So break it down for me. You know, I'm going to try to explain it to my listeners, but you probably do a better job. What is Severed, and what sets it apart from practically every other game out there right now?
Severed is sort of like a mix of a few genres. It's like it's sort of a first-person dungeon crawler, where you're walking from first person view around these sort of maze like spaces in dungeons. You'll encounter enemies, and when you fight them, it's sort of like a touch based punch out. So you might initially feel like it's sort of like Infinity Blade, but the big difference is that there's multi enemy combat. So a bunch of enemies will all spawn in at once that all have different behaviors, different ways that you have to beat them. And so you'll have to manage those enemies.
I like that. I mean, you brought up Infinity Blade. Good point. I never actually got the chance to play that. So to me, this is a total breath of fresh air. I haven't played a game with this style of combat before. So break down, you know, who is this main character I'm playing as in Severed? You know, what is her story? And, you know, what is my journey I'm going through in this game?
The story of Severed, as you play it, is intentionally a little bit obscure.
I like that. That's a good... I could tell that from the beginning.
So you wake up, you go to a place that seems like your home, you look in a mirror and see that you're missing one of your arms. From there, you have a flashback, and you're greeted by a dark entity who gives you a sword and encourages you to go find your family. And so for the remainder of the game, you're basically looking for your family members and trying to piece together what this place is, how you got here, and how you can get out of it.
Like, the thing is, for me, is the art style is so surreal. Like, it almost feels like I'm living inside of, like, a book that I am opening every page as I'm turning the corner, as I'm walking around. What made y'all decide to design the game with that bright, colorful art style? I mean, it's very recognizable in a sea of other games out there. Like, did y'all have, from the beginning, you had this vision in your mind? Or is it until y'all actually started making the game, you're like, you know what, this art style works perfect with this experience?
The gameplay idea came first, where... we were doing experiments, and we came up with a gameplay very similar to what you played. Yeah. But we didn't feel like it had kind of an interesting universe to play in yet, so we put it on the back burner for a while. And then some number of months later, our concept lead, Augusto, he basically in his spare time had created this Flash video that just proposed this weird, strange, dark universe with the visual style you're describing and kind of setting the tone. And so when we saw that, we were like, okay, I think this is worth making now. And so we started doing it.
Looks fantastic. And again, one of those key things in games like that, like you said, if the plot is a little bit obscured and you're told to go and find out, to me that's more of a motivation, because I'm presented with an interesting world, interesting concept, and as a dungeon crawling game, it feels very natural. Like, I really love the fact of you turning around and looking in a room, It feels like I'm in a three-dimensional space. It's extremely well designed. So let's talk more about the combat aspect. You mentioned that you have, you know, the slashing attacks. Certain enemies have weaknesses or shields you have to parry and block. What other abilities or like magic are we able to use in the final game?
Yeah, so initially it's basically slashes and waiting for the enemies to attack you so you can parry them, or finding some other way to get them to open up and become vulnerable. The next ability that you'll get in the game is a charge attack, which allows you to... some enemies and objects will have these special hardened surfaces that you can't slash through, so you have to charge up by touching and holding on the screen for a while and then hitting those armored areas. As you progress, you'll fight bosses, and as you beat those bosses, you'll get additional pieces of armor that you'll add to your body. So you'll get a helmet, and that allows you to blind enemies for a period of time. You'll get a piece of chest armor, then that allows you to absorb powers off of the enemies. Later in the game, the enemies start having buffs applied to them, so they might have an extra attack power or extra defense, or they might be moving extra fast. And so you're able to steal those powers off them and sort of use it against them.
I noticed the feature as well, you know, as the name implies, severed. When you get your meter high enough by continuously getting hits together, not being blocked, you know, not being destructed by any attacks, you basically, if you finish them off, you have this little bin that pops up as you literally sever their arms off, you know, but it's not just for style. There actually is like a gameplay purpose to it, is there not?
Yeah, so the way that you power up your character is by severing these parts off. So yeah, there's a combo system, and if you do well enough in the combo system, you'll enter severed mode, and at that point, anytime you kill an enemy, there'll be an opportunity for you to chop pieces off them. Different pieces are used to power up your equipment. Yeah. So what ends up happening as you play is initially, when you play, you're just like, okay, I just need to survive. But once you start to realize, oh, I need more eyeballs in order to power this up. I need more arms in order to power that up. When you go into battle, you'll have to look at the enemies and go, okay, I need parts from this guy, and I need some parts from this guy. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to build up my combo to the point where I can get into sever mode and kill them. So that means you'll end up having to basically do the opposite of what your initial goal is. Instead of just trying to kill them off as quickly as possible, you'll be trying to keep them around in order to have the opportunity to harvest their pieces.
Love that strategic aspect to the game, which, again, you know, even from the demo I played, did a very good job of teaching me the concepts. But as soon as I got to a boss battle, I was like, oh, I need to parry his attack, turn around, deal with the adds next to me, turn back, parry his attack, counterattack. Very fast paced. And I like that it built in an intensity as it goes on. And obviously, that was very early part of the game. So I imagine it gets only more crazier from there. You know, you got to show me a couple of later end stages of which the abilities and powers you have to do. And it's very impressive. I saw you had boots allow you to walk on clouds, was it?
Yeah, later in the game, very close to the end of the game, you'll get this, you'll drink something and it'll let you walk on clouds. So that'll let you revisit old areas. You'll have seen these cloud areas early in the game, but you won't have been able to access them or walk in them. Once you have the boots, you can go into those areas. But one of the twists with those areas is that when you're in battle, the cloud boots start to break down over time. And so now you're in a situation where you want to harvest the parts, you want to survive, but you also have to beat the battle more quickly.
Excellent. Well, it's called Severed. It's from Drinkbox Studios. I am supremely impressed by this. I assume this is a PlayStation Vita exclusive?
Yes, that's correct.
Do you have any time frame in mind of when you might want to release this?
We don't have a specific date yet, but we're pretty close. We're in the polish phase. Basically, the game is done, and we're just kind of finishing it up. So we're hoping that it'll be out early in 2016.
2016 PlayStation Vita. The game is Severed. Drinkbox Studios. You got to check this out. I think if you have a Vita, you have to play this. I mean, you're not going to get this experience anywhere else. And I'm kind of jealous. You know, I play PS4 mostly. I have to go borrow my friend's Vita now, shamefully. But, you know, playing something like this, it's a breath of fresh air. It's called Severed. You got to check it out. Chris, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Voicemail 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so we're back here at Gamertag Radio. Great job, Poston, with the interview.
Thank you.
And Paris, any update with Pete?
He's still offline. They're probably in the dark zone, so he can't respond.
Oh, no. All right, so we're going to wrap it up, guys. Thanks for listening to episode 538. Remember, once again, email us, send in your voicemails. The more questions we have, more content we have for the show, So it's all up to you, the listeners, all right? So head over to GamertagRadio.com or Play.it to listen to our past episodes and spread the word about us. Subscribe through iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and other places too. We're everywhere. Spread the word. Give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Or email us, fanmail@GamertagRadio.com. And we'll be back next week with more content, more goodies, more debates. And I hope he doesn't hide next time. So see you next week. We're out. Peace.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Thanks for listening. Tune in next week.